Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday here in early January, the 9th, 11 minutes past 2 o'clock. Devin Marshall is our producer today. My name is Steve Thompson. We've got a great show lined up for you today. A wide variety of topics today. We'll start with politics. Larry Jacobs in a moment. Stephen Clark, spaceflightnow.com later on in the hour. Don Gilman, founder of Let Them Play MN, suing the governor and state officials over the mask mandate. She'll join us before 3 o'clock. Sarah McClellan covers the Wild for the Star Tribune after 3. John Oxton, Lakeville North boys basketball coach. Alan Horton, voice of the Timberwolves, and much, much more. By the way, the Timberwolves and Spurs on the radio tonight beginning at 6:30, and you can catch the Timberwolves not only here on the radio or at the radio.com app. You can get them on your smart speaker as well by just asking your smart speaker to play News Talk 830-WCCO. Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Professor Larry Jacobs from the University of Minnesota. And Larry, good to visit with you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
What a week. Where do we start?
You know, this is a week that will live in history. January 6th, it'll be a chapter in textbooks. It'll be something that historians will study for many years. And, you know, I think it's a sad week for America. We all took a hit, and I just hope we can kind of hit the reset button and, you know, rebuild our country and our democracy.
That's where the challenge lies. Where do we head after a moment like this, where there are members of the House of Representatives, members of the Senate, who, in the wake of the riots we saw, still challenge the election results, even though we talked throughout 2020 in the lead-up to the election and in the wake of the election, there is no credible evidence that has been put forth in any legitimate forum that calls into the question or into question the results of this election. But here we stand. On January 9th, there are people still calling into question the results of this election.
Yeah, I think that's the big lie. And, you know, if President Trump had a bill of particulars put together against his conduct, I think they would start with that, the big lie that the election was stolen. We've had Republican judges and Republican secretaries of state, along with a whole host of other people, including judges who were appointed by the president, who've all looked at this and said, fair election, the president-elect is Joe Biden, and yet this lie persisted and the president spread it. We are seeing a very strong reaction on the part of Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, in barring Donald Trump from ever using it again. So I think this is a very important step. I think we're going to probably see regulations put on the social media outlets because they were, you know, culpable in allowing those lies to be spread. I look at what happened after the riots when you had half of the House representatives, Republicans all, voting still to object to, you know, the delegations from states. And that is, to me, just baffling and something I think will continue to get attention because it really calls into question, how is it that a party that loses an election accepts those results?
Yeah, and we saw, for instance, newly elected Congressman Michelle Fischbach vote to object shortly after these riots, after the Capitol was cleared, after the United States Capitol was damaged, still being on board this idea that in some way, shape, or form this election was stolen. It's now to the point of being mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling or, you know, unconstitutional or, you know, really in violation of the oath of office to uphold the Constitution. So I think it's very serious. I would say that Tom Emmer, who's one of the leaders in Congress for the Republicans, did not vote for it. And I think that's a very powerful sign because Congressman Emmer is a very important figure here in Minnesota and around the country in the Republican Party. I think we're going to need leadership from people like Congressman Emmer and Mitch McConnell, Vice President Pence, in helping to turn the Republican Party away from the direction it's been heading, which is, you know, frankly seditious, at least, you know, last week.
As we've passed these various milestones, the Electoral College casting their ballots, electing Joe Biden as President of the United States, and then Congress ultimately, after all the turmoil and the riots at the Capitol, ultimately certifying those results, and now we have an Inauguration Day, and Biden and Harris will be the President and the Vice President of the United States. But I have a feeling that the turmoil will linger, and the gigantic question is how do we heal? Because there are calls right now for the impeachment of President Trump, that there's a big movement in the House of Representatives to go through another impeachment. We know how difficult that was last time, and here we are just days away from the new president being inaugurated. The gigantic question is it worth it at this point to go through that?
I agree with you. In fact, I think some of the cooler heads in the Democratic Party, including in President-elect Biden's camp, are now thinking more carefully about this. Imagine that the Congress, the House of Representatives under Democratic control, votes on, let's say, Wednesday or Thursday for impeachment. Then it goes to the Senate. And here you've got Joe Biden coming in. He's going to have multi-trillion-dollar package to rebuild our economy, to conduct mass vaccinations. He's talking about 100 million vaccinations in the first 100 days in office. That's extraordinary. So he's got this ambitious agenda, and there's no doubt if there's a trial in the Senate, it's going to suck up the oxygen in Washington, and it'll be harder to move on that agenda going forward. So I think the Democrats are going to have a tough call here, and the leadership are going to have to balance the conduct of President Trump, which was outrageous, potentially illegal, against a new administration coming in with a forward-looking agenda, and now, because of the two elections in Georgia, a very thin Democratic majority in the United States Senate. So that's going to be the tough call.
Yeah, and beyond that, with the president, there still potentially could be disciplinary action against sitting members of Congress, the House and the Senate, who potentially were involved in all of this. So you balance the agenda on COVID-19, the economy, and all of those sorts of things. But also there's a sense of duty to at least investigate potential crimes or potential misdeeds, if you will, by members of Congress and make sure that that's dealt with and not swept under the rug.
That will certainly happen, and it's going to happen in several ways. Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, and Nancy Pelosi, the leader of the Democrats in the House of Representatives, are now going to be setting up a kind of 9/11 type commission to get to the bottom of what happened and the failure of the Capitol Police and, you know, any kind of conspiracy or, you know, illegal activity that led up to the inciting of the crowd and the riot itself. In addition, there's a U.S. prosecutor in Washington, D.C., who made it clear on Thursday that he was looking into all individuals who may have been part of the events on January 6th. When he was pressed whether that included President Trump, he said it included all individuals. We then had subsequent reporting from the Washington Post saying that the White House general counsel advised Donald Trump that he was legally liable for what happened. And this may have contributed to the president's acceptance of Joe Biden's election and that there would be a transfer of power on January 20th. So there is not going to be a sweeping under the rug. There is a full-on legal process that will get to the bottom of this, and it may well result in a number of prosecutions, potentially including the president of the United States at this time.
One of the things that Senators Hawley of Missouri, Senator Cruz of Texas, and others wanted was a pause so there could be some sort of blue ribbon panel or committee to study the election results. That's been done at the state level, the Electoral College. Congress's duty was clear, was to vote to certify and count the votes of the Electoral College, and on we go to Inauguration Day. But would you think, or do you think it would be a good idea when the dust settles, so to speak, to maybe have an after-action analysis, if you will, of the 2020 election, some sort of bipartisan thing? I know many will not be considered, but is it worth that step to continue to look at how we run elections in the states, how those results are tabulated, how to make sure that 2022, 2024, and beyond, that people have faith in our elections? Is it worth a look or a deeper dive?
There's no question. We need to read the page of 2020 before we turn the page. And I think the way you put it is exactly right. I've built a program on election administration at the University of Minnesota. It's the only online election training program in the country at this point. And one of the things we're working on is a series of panels in this coming spring looking at the lessons and how to move forward. It's going to include state legislators as well as election officials. So yes, I completely agree. We need to find out, you know, what works, what doesn't work, and also look at steps to start to rebuild confidence in this process of our elections.
Quick break. We have more with Professor Larry Jacobs from the University of Minnesota. What a week, an ugly week, and we pick up the pieces and move forward. And we'll talk a little bit more about state politics before we run out of time here on this Saturday afternoon here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Tonight, we'll get started at 6:30. Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. By the way, Alan joins us at about 3:35. Will Carl Anthony Towns be in the lineup tonight for the Timberwolves? It has been a major struggle without him. We continue with Larry Jacobs, professor at the University of Minnesota, after a very tough week here in the United States. And something shocking to see. The riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. I'm sure those are images none of us will ever forget. Larry, let's talk a little bit about state politics. Governor Tim Walz has started to relax COVID-19 restrictions. High school sports, youth sports are resuming. There's still challenges to the governor's authority on that front. But the thing I wanted to ask you about is that there are more and more people lining up to run for governor already in 2022. I know this has been a tumultuous year here in the state of Minnesota and beyond for obvious reasons. It seems a bit early for that many people to be lining up.
Yeah, no, I'd say this is about the right timing. Okay. you know, there's going to be competition, and at this point, there's kind of a quiet process of going around and talking to the party activists and the donors. And if you don't throw your hat in the ring, it's harder to do that. So I would expect a decent field of Republicans stepping forward to run against Governor Waltz. I think the challenge for the Republican Party is they've got a long losing streak. And the question is, can they find the right candidate? Not just a candidate who appeals to the most fervent activists who tend to be the most conservative, but folks who can talk to the suburbs and more independent-minded Minnesotans. That's been a real problem for the Republicans, is how do you win the nomination without moving so far to the right that you've kind of moved yourself out of competition.
And that becomes just math. Hennepin County and Ramsey County compromise a huge part of the population. You look at the election results here in the state of Minnesota, and for that matter, statewide results. Generally, the DFL candidate for statewide offices so dominates in Hennepin and Ramsey County that it's very difficult to overcome that in the other counties in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, we've got a very bifurcated political geography. The Republicans do very well in legislative races because they're very well spread out. And rather than winning, you know, let's say a Minneapolis race by 20, 30 points, they instead are winning by 5 to 10 or 11 points. And so it's, you know, kind of more smoothly and efficiently spread their voters. Whereas the Democrats do well because they tend to dominate the large population centers. They do need some support in the suburbs, and I think that would be the Achilles heel of the Democrats. And we saw particularly the Republican candidates all over the country doing better in the legislative races than we had expected in a presidential election year. Can Republicans find a more moderate appealing candidate who can do okay in the suburbs? If they can, I think Tim Walz could be in trouble.
Well, and legislative session is underway and a lot to accomplish there. Big budget challenges down the road and still not out of the woods on COVID-19. By all appearances, this will still be with us for a while, well into summer before vaccinations. And we talked about Joe Biden's agenda and what he's trying to do with COVID-19. Big challenge at the state level as well.
Absolutely, and I think you're going to see Democrats and Governor Waltz looking for ways to supercharge the economy, get our students back in the classroom, get workers back with their employers, with the hope that, you know, by next fall, things are starting to resemble what we used to talk about as normal times. I think that's the big agenda. There's certainly items that Democrats want to move, but I think this is going to be kind of a bread and butter period. And certainly Joe Biden, that's what he's telling us. It's going to be the economy, it's going to be COVID, and then there's some other issues. But he wants to see us kind of really supercharge our economy and our country and bring people together.
All right, Larry, always good to visit with you. Thanks.
Good to be with you again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.